with Marianne. I am so delighted we're spending this time here today. Our show coming up is all about wellness and health. So our first guest, Erica Flint, is an award-winning hypnotist, best-selling author, speaker, and the co-host of a popular podcast series on hypnosis, as well as a radio program, Reprogramming Your Health. Erica is the founder of the Cascade Hypnosis Center, and she's here today to talk to us about her new book, Reprogram Your Weight. So let's welcome to the show, Erica.
Marianne, thank you so much for having me here today. I'm really excited to tell all your listeners about my book. I cannot wait to talk about this, especially because you bring such a great perspective to this discussion.
Yeah, it's completely different than most. Well, first of all, it's the opposite of a diet, so we can start with that. And most people are a little bit interested with that and the fact that it uses hypnosis. So a lot of people are really curious about, you know, how does hypnosis lead to lasting weight loss? And, you know, there's a lot of things that we can talk about. So I'm excited to hear what you want to start with.
Well, Janet, why don't we start with you? Because I think a lot of people, you know, they are always curious. It's like, how did Erica get on this path? How did you even, you know, get to this place where this is like a passion of yours?
Right. Well, I was in software engineering for years, which was awesome. I loved that job. But then I had some personal challenges in my life, and I think a lot of people have had personal challenges. You get to a really low point, and I started asking myself, being like dissatisfied with things in my life and wanting more and wanting to look for more things, and that's when I found hypnosis, and it really provided me with significant self-healing and everything that I felt like I needed and wanted. And from there, I remember sitting there the moment I realized what hypnosis really is doing, and I realized how much it really is a reflection to some extent of what I'd already been doing in programming computers, and how I was able to relate that to what was going on in my own brain and my own heart, and how I was so easily able to translate that for other people to healing them. And so, you know, for me, it was my own path of healing and self-discovery that led me to hypnosis. And that's why I just am so passionate about it now.
Oh, you know, the passion comes across, and I mean, because I've been on your website, and I'm all, you know, we're connected on social media, and I just love the passion that you bring to this discussion, because I think it gets really confusing for a lot of people. You know, it seems like, gosh, you know, and we'll get into this a little bit later. I don't want to bring the cart before the horse here, but, you know, it's just like it gets confusing when we talk about the subconscious and conscious mind and, you know, what are these even doing? But before we get into that discussion, why don't we talk about, you know, why use hypnosis to heal emotional eating?
Well, and so this does kind of bring up the conscious and subconscious mind, but this is the way that I like to describe it to people. When you know what you should be doing or want to be doing, and most of my clients who want to lose weight, they know what they should be doing. They know how to eat properly. They know the formula, right? And they've lost weight in the past. They know what they should be doing, but in the moment, they don't feel like it, and that's the problem. So, you know, they can have, you know, they wake up in the morning, they feel good, they put their gym clothes in the car, they pack a healthy lunch, and they have every intention of working out, cooking a healthy dinner, spending a great evening with the family. But by the time the end of the workday is done, or by the time that they are running kids around to appointments or dropping their parents off at appointments or whatever it is, all of the thousands of things that they're trying to do all day, they don't feel like eating that healthy dinner or going to the gym anymore. They just don't. And so they find themselves at the drive-thru, or they find themselves eating ice cream once again, and then people get really frustrated. So they can know what to do, and that's what we consider more of a conscious type of a thinking. Like, you know in your mind what you want to do, but you don't follow through on it because you don't feel it. And so when we're talking about the subconscious is more where the feeling state is. And so what hypnosis really does is hypnosis aligns those two things. So now you can know what you want to do, and then in the moment you actually feel like doing it. And the cool thing about this is that we almost always do what we feel. And if we don't, if we're doing something we don't feel like, and we almost always complain about it, we'll say, well, fine, I'll do that, but I don't feel like it, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, and it sometimes it can be like, gosh, you know, I'm doing all these things. To stop and cook a healthy meal is just one other thing, you know?
Just one more thing, yep. And so that is a real big part of the reason why my program tends to work really well for people, because one of the key components really is that it has to be easy enough and integrated into your life. So however busy you are, it has to be integrated in your life to the extent that you can do it every single day with minimal effort. If it's too much effort, and this is where most diet programs are pretty regimented and you have to follow a specific plan and they'll work for a while, but then people run out of steam and they don't want to keep following them anymore, and then they just gain the weight back.
Yeah, it's like this vicious cycle.
It is, because then in the end what ends up happening is then they feel deflated, they feel frustrated, and they feel like, hey, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do this? And so they feel even worse than when they did when they started. And so this is why a lot of people, you know, they're just like, I'm not even going to try anymore because I just feel worse in the end.
Yeah, because it could feel like a battle until you get that alignment going.
Right, absolutely. And it does feel like a battle because you're trying to do something that you don't feel like doing. So that's where willpower comes in. Willpower is energy driven. So you can use willpower, you have the will to do it, right? And power, that just basically means you have the energy. So when you're only using willpower, which is a conscious mind thing, and it's an energy driven, so you have to have the physical energy, the physiological energy to do it, by the end of the day, if you've had a stressful day or are too tired, you really don't feel like it anymore. So you give in. You have no willpower left. Your battery is empty.
Now, so you talk about using hypnosis, and you are so good about how you explain this in the book. I'd like for you to share with our listeners a little bit on how they can use that to really talk to their subconscious mind in order to get the changes they're looking to have made.
Yeah, so hypnosis really allows us to tap into subconscious and understand, okay, what's really going on here? So, for example, one of the big issues that I help people resolve is emotional eating. So emotional eating is when you eat when you're not hungry for emotions, right? So there's a lot of times we eat when we're not hungry. Sometimes it's for social reasons. Sometimes it's because the clock says so. Oh, it's 9 a.m. I have to eat, right? But a lot of times, and for a lot of my clients, emotional eating is the issue. So they're eating because they're stressed. And they're eating because they're bored. Those are the two primary emotions that people are suffering from that are driving them to eat. Now, there's other ones, too. There's guilt. There's shame. There's anger. There's, unfairness. There's all sorts of other feelings that people will turn to food for. But food is really serving as a distractor. So what's happening in the brain, and this is really interesting, what's happening in the brain is the brain is almost getting overloaded. So the nervous system, to some degree, is getting overloaded with negative feelings, and the brain is kind of like, please give me a break. Give me a break from this stress. I don't want to be so bored. Give me a break from this frustration. And your brain knows that if you just reach for food, it's going to give you that momentary respite from whatever it is that you're thinking about. So a lot of my clients, I ask them, about food, and they'll tell me, the only time I feel good during the day is when I'm eating. That's it. That's the only time they feel good, because the rest of the time they feel bad about themselves. They feel inadequate. They feel lonely. They don't feel good enough. People are making fun of them or pushing them around. And so what hypnosis does is it allows people to understand what that emotion is that's happening and eliminate it. So eliminate that negative feeling. And then that's really powerful. So now they're not feeling inadequate anymore. They're not feeling so stressed anymore. And of course, there's some practical things there too. Like if somebody's trying to do 10,000 things every single day, there needs to be some reprioritization that takes place, because we are, human bodies, and there's only so much in a day that we really truly can do. And I tell my clients, you can do anything. You can do everything, you just can't do it all at once, right? You can't do everything all in the exact same moment, right? So it's like you got to prioritize, right? So what hypnosis really allows us to do, first of all, is pinpoint the source of the emotional turmoil. And then we find the root cause, basically, the root cause for that emotional turmoil, and then we're able to get rid of it. And sometimes it's coming from a place in the past and it's being re-triggered by something currently. Sometimes it is just something that is going on regularly every single day. So some level of kind of ongoing stress. So like a boss that's difficult or, really suffering. You know, there's a lot of things that people are suffering from now. A child who, is doing poorly in school. Parents who love their kids and the kids are suffering and parents are going to suffer along with that, right? And that's really hard for people. Or, or an elderly parent who is going through, you know, the aging process. So some of these things, some of the most hurtful things that we experience are watching a loved one suffer.
Well, I can see where people would look at something to kind of alleviate that suffering because, you know, it becomes a habit after a while. You know, it's like, okay, I'm just going to do this, get that good feeling like you're saying, like the brain, hey, I'm, yeah, overwhelmed. This, you know, the ice cream's making me feel better for this moment. And now I don't have to be in all this stuff.
Exactly right. That's exactly what's happening because there's a part of the brain that just wants to feel better now. Okay. It's like, oh man, I'm just so tired. I just want to feel better now. I don't care about the consequences. And then what happens is later on, after eating all the ice cream or, you know, after eating the bag of chips and being like, huh, you know, that didn't fill that spot. I guess it wasn't chips. It must be, you know, pizza. And then after 800 calories or more of food, people feel guilty, right?
Yeah.
So then there is this kind of after effect, and I call that guilty residue. Guilty residue left over from, I want to feel better now. And you kind of have that knee-jerk reaction, just reach for that food to feel better now. And we know that sugar behaves like a drug in the brain. And so the brain, as according to the brain, the sugar and pleasurable type foods like that really do alleviate the sensation of that nervous system overload. So it does give the brain that temporary respite, but it has a long-term consequence. So one of the best things to do is rehabituate yourself to something that feels good but doesn't have a high price tag. So you do something else that's enjoyable. And that's where hypnosis is really helpful, to change unhealthy patterns to healthy ones. So that's the second thing we do. We go after this root cause that's kind of causing this emotional turmoil to begin with, and then we help people take unhealthy habits and turn them into healthy ones. And the combination of those two things and integrating it into your life, that every client I work with is very different. So we come up with a different approach for every single one. And then that makes sure that it works for them specifically, because there's a lot of things going on. You know, I mean, you have people who have young kids and they're working part-time. You have people who have retired and they aren't working anymore, so they're not getting that good feeling from working. There's people who are just working way too much. They feel like they're lucky to have the job, but now they're doing twice as much. All sorts of different things, and so we have different solutions, and this is kind of what is in the book, too, is different stories of clients coming from all varieties of backgrounds and situations and how they solve the problem with hypnosis.
Well, that's one of the things I really appreciate about your book is there's no cookie-cutter approach to dealing with it. It isn't like, you know, listen to this CD or, you know, here's, you know, just, you know, do these certain things and you're going to get the same results as John over there or Mary over here, you know?
Right. And I think that that is a really great point to bring up, because I think a lot of people do want the magic pill. They want the silver bullet. They want just help me feel better now. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it, you know? But the reality is it is going to be different for every person. And when people recognize that and are able to read a book like that and then apply some of the techniques to themselves in a way that makes sense, then they'll start to see results. Once you start to see results, what happens is now resistance is down and people get relief. Once they get even just a little bit of relief, like, oh my gosh, I lost a pound this week and it didn't even feel like I had to try. Like, it was so easy. So once they get a little bit of relief, now they're like, oh my gosh, it can be this easy. And so then they're open to even making other changes.
Yeah, just seeing how easily it flows. Now, I know that you also talk about there are certain things, you know, to focus on, like sleep and even mindfulness, you know, in some capacity, you know.
Right. Yeah. You know, there are some foundations. We have a human body, right? So we have to, really good self-care is definitely a part of this. So you don't have to have perfect self-care. I mean, I think everybody could agree if we all were millionaires, and, you know, we could go to the gym or go be active for 2 hours every day and we had a private chef who would make us the perfect food, it would be a lot easier, right? And maybe, you know, on top of that, we got to spend an hour doing something creative and, you know, a hobby or something like that, that things would be easier. But it's just not realistic. Some of the foundations for that really help people here, really good sleep. So if I see, you know, there's two things, really. Really good sleep and lowering stress. So if without really good sleep, people are waking up without enough energy to be effective during that day. So then what happens? They start to get tired, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, but they feel like they shouldn't be tired because they're trying to work. So what are they going to reach for? They're probably going to reach for something sugary, right?
Mm-hmm. Any kind of stimulant, coffee, sugar. Yeah.
Yep, and maybe a combo, right? Maybe they're doing coffee with sugar in it or something like that. And then that just kind of starts a downward spiral for them. So good sleep is important, and it's something that I look for with my clients. If they're not sleeping well, we have to address that problem in addition. Because if we don't, it's going to be harder for them to be – it's going to be harder for them to be successful, let's put it that way. And when they are sleeping well, and this is usually a result of us working together, they wake up with energy in the morning. And now they have a positive outlook for the day. They have time to maybe do a 10-minute stretch of yoga or something in the morning. They're maybe reading a devotional in the morning or reading something inspirational or listening to an inspirational podcaster. They have time to kind of boot up with some really positive stuff. And then maybe they have time to, you know, make a healthy breakfast or healthy lunch, something simple, right? We don't have to eat perfectly to lose weight. We really don't. And it's kind of a balance between what you can do and then something healthy. But the other thing is stress. So if there's too much stress, and this is where I see too much stress. It's very common. A lot of my clients, they want to make sure everybody else is happy. Does that sound familiar? Have you ever heard of that one?
I have heard of that. I have heard of that for sure.
So, you know, a lot of moms, a lot of women in particular, they want to make sure everybody in the room is happy. They want to make sure their kids are happy, spouse is happy, parents, everybody needs to be happy, and then they can be happy. Well, guess what? That is so much work. And it almost never happens. It's impossible to please everybody. So that's another kind of issue where people are trying to make sure everybody is happy. They stress themselves out. You can't make anybody happy, first of all. And so then because they're so stressed, now they're eating to compensate that. So that's another issue that we work on.
Well, and I know you talk about how it's possible to change that default response to stress. So that, you know, then there's this new response. And a lot of times, I think when we talk about this stuff, people think, gosh, that's going to be really hard. You know, how am I going to do that?
Yeah, and you know what? They're right, because they're not going about it appropriately. So usually what happens is when we have a default response to stress, well, guess what? We're stressed, right? We're stressed, right? And then we do this thing. So the worst time to try and come up with a default response is when you're stressed. You have to think of it ahead of time. And so that's really one of the keys. You have to think of it ahead of time. When you have, you know, so if you think about it energetically, it's kind of like, well, when you're stressed, you're not really feeling well. Like, you don't usually have tons of energy. You usually are feeling kind of low, or you're just like defeated or frustrated or something. When you're feeling better, that's when, you know, you kind of have access to your creative resources. So this is what I do with my clients. Like, what, you know, what would you like to do? When you were stressed. I'm asking them when they're not stressed, what would you like to do? Oh, well, I'd like to go on a walk. I'd like to listen to music. I'd like to take my dog for a walk. I'd like to go listen to music online. I joke with my clients all the time about watching baby donkey videos on YouTube, and it just makes everybody laugh to think about something truly enjoyable, right? And so when you plan it ahead of time, is the number one step. Number two is it has to be equal to some degree of the food. So I'll give you an example. I had a client once who said, well, next time I'm stressed, I'm going to clean my house. And I said, okay, how does that, you know, how does that make you feel? Is that, because some people really like cleaning, so I had to check. And she said, well, she said, well, I like it when it's done. And I said, well, do you enjoy doing it? She said, no. And I said, so honest to goodness, are you going to really want to clean your house when you're stressed? She said, no. All right. So that's the other thing. With your default response, it has to be something that you enjoy. And it could be something simple. You know, the last piece is that it has to be easy to do. So I had another client who said, well, when I'm stressed, I want to go skiing. I said, okay, well, that's great, but do you know, it wasn't even ski season here in Bellingham, or the mountain is like an hour away. So how easy is it going to be for you to hop in your car, drive up to the mountain, and go skiing when you're stressed? And she said, well, not all that easy. So the default response has to be easy. You have to think of it ahead of time. It has to be something that's enjoyable, and it has to be really easy to do, something that you can do anywhere. Once those three things are done, then, in the moment when you feel stressed, you do it whether you feel like it or not. And this is where the hypnosis really shines, because you can do this in hypnosis with people, and now they already have an expectation of success. So the next time they feel stressed, they just go on the walk. They don't think about it, because the reality is when we're feeling stressed like that, we don't always feel like doing what's good for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're too focused in on what's happening. You know, it's like, oh, I'm sucked into this stress column, you know?
Yep, and we get focused on that negativity. You're right. And so what happens is if you just go on the walk, so you just like, okay, I promised Erica I'm going to just go on the walk the next time I felt like this, guess what happens like 2 minutes into the walk?
They start thinking about their stress.
They start, and so they're out there on their walk, and they're thinking about things, but they're also starting to feel better. And so sometimes we just have, you know, there's two ways that we do things. One way we do things because we feel like it, and that's pretty easy. You know, you feel like hanging out with your friends, you feel like going shopping, you feel like that type of thing, you feel it. The other way that we do things is because we know it's the right thing for us. And that is, for a lot of people, going to work, right? I don't feel like going to work, but I'm going to because I know I need to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the default response can kind of be the same thing. It's like, I'm going to go on the walk, I'm going to listen to the music, or I'm going to go sit in the hot tub. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to do it because I know it's the right thing for me. Usually within a couple minutes of doing it, the mood, the feeling shifts, and it makes all the difference. Because guess what happens? You get to repattern the brain. Now you're teaching the brain stress, walk, stress, walk, stress, walk. Pretty soon the cupcakes are out of the brain. You know, cupcakes and stress aren't connected anymore, and you'll be sitting there feeling stressed, and you'll be like, I need to go on a walk. And that's really magical. When people realize that that happened, they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't think about having the cupcake or the donut in the break room. I actually thought I need to take a walk. And this is what the brain is telling you. The brain is saying, I need to take a break. That's exactly what the brain is doing. It doesn't even want that food. It just wants a break from what you are doing. So when you come up with that default response and you just follow through on it, whether you feel like it or not, make that commitment to do it for a week, it can change things for you in a very dramatic and systematic way. So you can change how your brain is wired so that it will actually give you the idea for walking the next time you feel stressed.
Well, and I'm sure just like any athlete or anyone that wants to be good at what it is that they're doing, it comes with some practice. So if they get out there and they are thinking about work and it's, or whatever their stress is, it's just the fact that they have to kind of immerse themselves into that mindfulness as they're on their path, kind of let that go, you know, really practice on letting that go.
Right. And there's a couple really, you know, interesting things that you can do. So one thing that you can do for mindfulness, like let's say you go outside and you're still thinking about the thing that's bothering you.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you do is you just look around for something new or different. Now, this is what they say keeps kids so kind of active and alive. All they do is they look for what's new and different. So go outside and on your walk, look for something new and different. Your neighbor is going to have a new something in their yard, right? Or a new car or something. So this is kind of like that. Do you remember playing that game when you were little, like two pictures, and one of the pictures had something different in it than the other picture?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you like that game?
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. So it's like that for your brain. And so you can kind of play that. The novelty of new or different lights up the part of the brain that responds to pleasure. So it really releases neurochemicals. It releases dopamine in the brain. So it's kind of a fun game to play. So if you ever catch yourself you know, still stress, even though you're out on a walk or trying to do something else, look around for what's new or different. Your brain will get excited. It will be happy for your brain, and then you'll stop thinking about the stressful thing.
I think that's great advice because, you know, so many people are so caught up in their stress and in their lives and what's going on, and we're in such an age of, you know, kind of instant gratification in many ways where we're so overly connected, you know, and so disconnected in others, that it would be just, I mean, what just perfect advice to be able to kind of refocus and recenter yourself so that you can, you know, make these shifts, and it doesn't have to be a hard thing.
No, it doesn't have to be a hard thing. As a matter of fact, you know, in my job, I'm just super interested in the way that the brain works. So I could sit down and find all of these super things that I, you know, things that I find really super interesting. But what I find is my clients get really curious about the way their brain is working. So once I point out some of these things, they're like, you're right, Erica, I wasn't thinking about this nearly as much. And you're right, once I was outside for 2 minutes, it shifted. And now they're curious about the power that they have in their own mind. They're not so focused on the negative. And by the negative, I mean the problem. They're not focused on the stress. They're not focused on the air. Now they're curious. And the curiosity shifts how they see and think about things. The curiosity, it too, will release the dopamine into the brain. And so now they're getting the neurochemicals that feel good in the body. And so the curiosity goes a long way to helping people make changes because they're like, wow, that's really cool that my brain did that. And that's really amazing that my brain did that. I wonder what else it could do. So people get excited and curious about the way their brain works. And once that happens, now they're going to be off and running because they're like, oh, my gosh, I wonder if this happens. I wonder what happens here. I had a story. There's a story in the book of a client who, she went to the grocery store. She got all the way home. And it wasn't until she got home, she started unpacking her groceries, she realized she did not go down the cookie or chip aisle. That was such a cool experience for her. It wasn't that she went to the store, saw the cookie or chip aisle, and thought, oh, my gosh, I can't do it. No, she didn't even think about it. And once she got all the way home, she was just really impressed with the way that her brain was able to change so quickly. Like, wow, of course I could lose weight if I didn't see or think about the chips anymore. That's just going to make it so much easier, right? Mm-hmm. And so when people are curious about how the brain works and then are noticing the changes, the immediate changes in the brain, now they're starting to understand how those immediate smaller changes can add up over time to really big, significant changes in their ability to make habitual and behavioral changes in their life.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it, you know, science is always saying, or I've heard them say, you know, different science reports will say it takes 30 days to form a new habit or 15 days to do this. There's, you know, some discrepancy as far as that goes. And it sounds like it's, these are little, you basically can plant your flag in the hill, you know, like one hill at a time, you know.
Right.
Today you can go down the chip aisle, and tomorrow I wonder what that's going to be, you know.
Right. Yeah, and that's a really good point because we really don't know, but I can say as far as neuroscience goes and the way that we have memory and the way that neural pathways are created in the brain, I don't think it's ever going to be one timeline for every person because there's a lot of things that go into it. So there's an emotional state that goes into it. There's novelty that goes into our ability to change habits. So I don't think it's ever going to be, you know, 7 days for everybody. It's going to be just like everything is for everyone. It's like if you start a new, you know, you start a training program for running. Well, some people are going to go and bust a 7-minute mile, and others are going to be at 14-minute miles. But everyone can finish the marathon if they're doing their 4-month training. It's just going to be different rates for different people. So, yeah, I think the consistency is the important part when it comes to changing a habit. So it has to be every single time you're doing it this new way.
Mm-hmm. And moving forward. And, you know, I think for a lot of people that have heard, you know, it takes X amount of time to develop new habits or what have you. I mean, it's probably really encouraging and offers a lot of hope for them to hear. It's like, no, you know, I can go at my own pace, and it's going to be what it's going to be.
Absolutely. And the other thing is with things like that, and I'll take it one step further, when you're standing in the aisle at the grocery store and you see, you know, Susie or Mary who, hey, I lost 30 pounds in a month. Well, that's really discouraging for people because guess what happens? If they don't lose the 30 pounds in a month, then they feel like there's something wrong with them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, those types of numbers, they can be, you know, they can be encouraging, but at the same time, it is going to be different for everybody. And long-term weight loss really happens at a rate of like half a pound to 2 pounds a week. And when you lose weight at that rate, it's much more likely that you're able to keep it off for life.
That is what people want to hear.
Yeah, because we don't want to do this forever, right? We don't want to be struggling with weight forever.
And most importantly, the root cause that's causing the weight as well, you know, we could kiss that goodbye.
Oh, my gosh. And that's really where the true healing comes in, because not only are people losing weight, but then they feel better about themselves. They're reconnected to the things that bring them true joy and happiness in their life. So people are painting and singing and dancing again. And they're like, oh, my gosh, I feel alive again. And then on the side, they're losing weight every single week. So, yeah, it's amazing.
Sounds like a win-win.
Yeah, it is.
Well, Erica, where can people, you know, I'm part of your community, but where can people, like your listeners, go and be part of your community and follow what you're doing as well?
Well, they can find my book, reprogramyourweight.com, so they can find me there. And they can follow me online at CascadeHypnosisCenter.com. They could also follow me on Facebook. That's facebook.com, you know, /Cascade Hypnosis Center. So there's a lot of ways to connect with me, and I just like to help inspire and educate people as much as I can and help as many people as I can with an inspirational and I think a new approach to weight loss that is much more doable for most people.
Oh, it really is. And then also, I know that you do schedule in-person sessions. Do you do sessions via Skype as well or not yet?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I usually do them over a different technology called Zoom. But, yeah, I do I do remote sessions with people. And as a matter of fact, if it's okay with you, if people wanted to email me, I would be happy to give them a free copy of my book. So that's Erica, E-R-I-K-A, at CascadeHypnosisCenter.com. So just send me an email and say that you heard me on Marianne's show, and I'll send you a free copy of the book. And I do free consultations with people every day to talk with them about how hypnosis can help them, and they can self-schedule that online.
That is really cool. I know I'm going to be scheduling at the time with you because you do hypnosis. You have a consultation that you do, and I've been checking that out. So I'll be contacting you for that personally. You know, Erica, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Marianne. It's been great. I just love talking about this, and thank you for having me on.
Thank you.